Welcome to Running is Bullshit. I'm Stuart.
And I'm Amy, and you're listening to the podcast that loves to hate running. This is episode 129, and we're a week late, maybe because I was running the Barclay Marathons.
Maybe.
Or it could just be because we were a bit busy last weekend and didn't have time. You decide.
You are the smallest European woman.
I was.
You're a tiny European woman.
I was. I was the sacrifice, you know. I was the second lady to finish, but no one made a big fuss about that, did they? It's all about the first lady to finish.
That's the narrative we're pushing. Yeah. Amy also finished, but just no one went on about Jasmine Paris, blah, blah, blah.
I finished with 30 seconds to go, you know, so no one
cares. What they don't want you. They don't want you to hear about that.
No, exactly.
The media is what it is. Exactly. The media.
Mainstream media is not interested in stories about me finishing with 30 seconds left till cut off.
Exactly. And we're bashing the media more in this episode. Yeah. What else we got, Amy?
We've got a PB and a DNS. Guess which way round. Race prizes, more mud, shitty race rules, and an interview with a dragon.
That's right. We go where no other podcast dare to go.
Yes.
But more of that later in the opening rant section of this podcast. Yes. Race price discounts. I don't like them. I think they're a bad thing. I understand an early bird is fine. Mm. So a discount at the very beginning, you open up your entries, you say, right, for the first 100 people, whatever, the first 2 weeks, there's a small discount. That's fine because whatever the race company is, they need money in their bank account because they need to pay for stuff. So they just need to get some money in early. That's fine. When you're during, you know, if you've got like a 6 month entry period and all of a sudden that third month becomes, oh, 20% discount this month, that's a bit of a fuck you to all the people that have already bought their entries, and I don't like it.
Yeah. Also, I'm a bit suspicious of stuff like that because I'm like, why aren't people signing up? Do they know something I don't know? Because obviously they're doing that to try and get people to sign up, so they're not enough people.
It does potentially give away the fact they're not selling as many as they want.
Yeah.
But it's also a bit of a fuck you to the people who signed up the day before that discount was announced. Mm. It's like, yeah, everyone's going to be doing the same thing, but some people paid less than others for no reason, just for completely arbitrary reasons. Don't like it. Stop doing it.
I think a better thing is maybe to do like a little competition or something, give away some places rather than just...
Yeah, that seems okay.
Yeah.
And also something I found out this week, something very useful actually, because when I've been doing some tempo sessions recently, I want to put on some music, but a lot of the music I listen to, as much as I like it, it's not good for running. It's a bit mid-tempo. So I found if you go on Spotify, if you just type in like 180 BPM, it makes a playlist for you based on your own music. Now, this might be a premium thing, I'm not sure, but it makes a playlist for you based on your own taste with songs around that tempo.
Which is awesome. Very handy.
Yeah. So like 170 or 180 or like I think whatever you want to put in, it'll make something roughly around that. And that saves me a lot of time making playlists. I don't listen to my own playlist anymore. I just listen to whatever Spotify tells me. It's great.
Mm. I bloody love Spotify. Spotify is fantastic.
I'm happy to pay it.
Premium. Well worth it.
You know, absolutely fuck over the artists. And I'm very sorry about that. But for me, it's brilliant.
It's good.
And that's really the main thing I'm interested in.
And they've got audiobooks on Spotify now. If you're a premium member, I think you get 15 hours worth a month of audiobook listening. It's very, very good. And you can top up your hours if you want. You can get like 10 hours for another. I feel like I work for Spotify, but I don't. I end up listening to it a lot because I have a very long commute. And I've been listening to audiobooks lately. I listened to Running While Black. And I can't remember who wrote it now off the top of my head. That's terrible. But it's fantastic. It's really, really eye-opening. It's an American woman, so it's obviously sort of within the context of America, but I'm sure there's like crossover to other Western countries, and the experience of being black and a runner. And it was just really eye-opening to hear her experiences, basically like how alienated she felt while joining running groups, which were predominantly white, which a lot of running groups in the UK as well tend to be predominantly white. So yeah, so on the subject of Spotify, that's suddenly got very heavy, but on the subject of Spotify, if you've got premium, have a look at, they've got loads of running books on there, really fantastic, but I do recommend Running While Black if you haven't heard it already. It's really good, really good.
That's by Alison Mariella De Seer.
Oh, thank you. Yep, that's one.
The tagline, finding freedom in a sport that wasn't built for us.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Well worth a listen.
Unfortunately, we do not have a discount code or any kind of deal with Spotify, but you know, we just opened up with a little free ad for them, so why not? They seem like they could do with the help.
Yeah, they're struggling a bit, aren't they?
Let's catch up on the last episode. Now, I'm pleased to have got a little bit of support from a few listeners from my comments last time that might have come across a bit harsh, and I apologise if they did. My excuse is that I was knackered. Amy, we need to stop doing these episodes at the weekend because we like do races and long runs, and then we immediately sit down and record, and I'm always just absolutely battered. So we think we need to do these midweek or something.
Yeah, or people donate more to our Patreon, and we can go like part-time or do this as a full-time job, and then we can just do it in the week when we're well-rested, you know?
Yeah, if we could get to around... like 70 grand a year, something like that. We could split that between us. Yeah. I think I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
So if we could, I think we need to up donations a bit.
Just a bit. You can do that, that's fine.
I mean, the song would be quite long then. That's the problem.
And we should probably have interviews with like big celebrities. I'm not saying the dragon isn't a big celebrity.
Celebrity's gross.
But it's a niche demographic, isn't it?
Anyway, on the subject of last week, luckily we don't have numbers on the number of people who call me a twat under their breath, so that's a bit of a relief, and frankly always have been. So thank you very much to everyone who sent us your fundraising links. We're very happy to contribute to your chosen charities. It's a shame that all the sites now just show your total to the nearest pound. They used to show pounds and pence, and I used to get a lot of satisfaction in making someone's total like £250 and 12 pence. Just, it's such a little minor petty thing. And I used to really enjoy that. And I still give random amounts for reasons that don't really make sense. Because everyone does £10, £50, £20. I like to give like £11.46. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, because it doesn't even show up anymore and no one even notices.
I thought you were suggesting you were giving like the 12 pence. I'm like, that's like a dick move in on two different levels.
Yeah, £1 to Just Giving, 12 pence for you. Yeah. So well done, everyone. Keep on raising money for charity. That's always good. Just remember, make it about the charity, not about you. That's the thing I think perhaps is something I should have said before. That I think that's the kind of the crux of it. Make it about the charity. It's not about you.
Yeah.
I think that's a good one. Friend of the show, Jen Danger Harding, let us know it was her who nearly died in the river, not Amy. And she also did not dodge us know that Amy did the next week. I think it's fair to say that Amy and Jen's risk perception is very different.
It is. It really, really is. That's why when Jen was in the middle of that river crossing that was very perilous, I was nowhere near it. Because if Jen thinks it's okay, it's probably very, very dangerous.
I mean, she has Danger as her middle name. Yeah. And again, literally, and I've seen that on race entry sheets because her name's Harding as well. So she's next to mine. And she has, it does say Jen Danger on the sheet. So she signed up with that name. So Danger's in her name. Yeah. She doesn't know it. She's not aware of danger as a concept.
No, she's very carefree. I remember once she said to me, I should probably only take 2 paracetamol, shouldn't I? I'm like, yeah, that is the dose. Like, she was just going to pop as many paracetamol as she thought was right for the in relation to the pain she was feeling. She's like, oh, I should only take 2, shouldn't I? Yes, Jen, that is the dose.
That's the point.
That is, she's just so carefree and fancy. You know, she's just fancy free with it. She just does what she wants, regardless of warnings, danger, and all those sorts of things. So, yeah.
Whereas you will avoid risk by a very long way.
At all costs. At all costs. So, two different ends of the spectrum there. Kat Abigail Hardman went looking for Fez the pheasant, but was unable to secure an interview. So we'll be waiting for that one. Just because you haven't secured it this time, we'll wait. We'll wait for as long as it takes.
Yeah, if we've interviewed a dragon, we'll interview a pheasant, no problem at all.
Yeah, exactly. We're working our way down in terms of like reincarnation and stuff. We're going to work our way right back down to the worm or something, aren't we, in terms of interviews?
Let's have a tea update. We are partnered with Bird and Blend Tea, and that means we'll tell you what tea we're drinking. If you like the sound of it, you can go to runningisbs.com/tea, click on the links, and buy the tea if you want. Amy, what are you drinking?
Still working my way through the matcha advent calendar. Mm-hmm. What are we in now? March? And nearly end of March. Today, I've got the carrot cake matcha. Now, this is another punishment tea because I don't particularly like carrot cake. I think I had mince pie last time, didn't I? Or the time before, and that was like a punishment matcha. Yeah, this is a punishment matcha.
Is it just like a slightly cinnamony tea?
Like, if you like carrot cake, you'll probably really like this one. I don't like carrot cake, so I'm not a particular fan of it. This is how you can tell that that we will be completely honest with our sponsorships. I'm not a massive fan of it. I think I've made it a bit wrong. I think I've made it too strong, so the carrot cake is even stronger than it needs to be. But yeah, it's kind of cinnamony. If you do like that sort of thing, you will like this. But I don't. So this is my punishment tea for tonight. So, yeah, how about you?
what have you done to deserve the punishment tea?
I don't know whether anyone else gets this.
Well, actually, we're getting to that in the next section, aren't we?
Sometimes the vibe... Yeah, but also, sometimes the vibes are just off some days. And you're like, I'm not, maybe it's a mental health issue, but I don't deserve a nice tea. I feel like I need to talk to this with a therapist, don't I? I need to be like, sometimes I don't feel like I deserve a nice tea, and I haven't done anything bad. I just don't feel like I deserve it. And it probably goes back to childhood and not feeling like I deserve, you know, I need to talk to a therapist.
I think so much of what we've said over the last 5 years is potentially a mental health issue, but I think let's just keep going with it. It's working well for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, how about you? Are you drinking a reward tea or a punishment tea?
I'm always on a reward tea because I'm always a fantastic boy and deserve all the treats. I did some hoovering last week, so, you know, pretty big deal. I'm on the cream egg tea because it's Easter, of course. Hey. Got to be on the cream egg tea. I always like to have that every year. It's kind of a chocolatey, kind of vanilla-y black tea, and it's very, very nice. If you like cream eggs, if you like tea, that's the thing to go for. Runningisbs.com/tea. What have you been up to other than punishing yourself?
Well, is it breakfast? Am I saying that right? Breakfast.
Yes.
Breakfast. Well, I didn't do breakfast half. Really disappointed, actually, because I was really looking forward to it. But I had,
you didn't do breakfast marathon, which you actually signed up for.
I know. Breakfast marathon was the first thing. And then that got taken down to the half because I didn't do enough training to run a marathon. And also the idea of driving 2 hours home when I haven't trained for a marathon just seemed daunting. So yeah, I was really looking forward to it. Unfortunately, we had a family thing that happened that meant that I needed to be at home. So really actually disappointed about that. And it's not my normal flaky excuse. This was a legitimate thing.
Yeah.
This was a legitimate thing that happened that I had to miss the race for. So quite disappointed about that. So yeah, didn't do breakfast. The last few races, there's been a curse over the last few races, hasn't there? That should hopefully lift by May, which is when my next thing that I've signed up for is. Haven't really been doing much running over the last few weeks for various reasons. But went out for a run this morning. Now, I've been running. I was working this out this morning. But I think I've been running now for 12 years. I tried a gel for the first time ever this morning.
What?
I know. Never had a gel before.
That is, that is incredible.
I know. I've never liked the ideas of gel. I've never liked the idea of gels. And I always read loads of stuff about how they give you a bad stomach, which is just that's the caffeine in it. Any caffeine thing can give you a bad stomach. But in my ignorance as a newer runner, I thought it was something about the gel that gave you a bad stomach rather than the caffeine.
I think it's just the carbohydrate. Yeah. So it's just the liquid form of it if you're not used to it.
Yeah, but that's in Toll and other stuff never as well. So I never had gels. I always had these chewy things. These I can't describe them, but these things tablet type things that you chew, and then I moved on to Tailwind and stuff. So never had a gel, but I was sent. I ordered something, and they put a free gel in the packet. So I thought, you know what, I'm gonna try that. Ooh. So tried it, and I think the issue with it was that it was original flavor, which meant it had no flavor. And I don't know whether all gels are this, but the consistency was phlegm. Snot, that sort of consistency.
What brand was it?
Oh, I can't remember off the top of my head. I don't want to call them out either. I can't remember. It's in my running bag.
SIS or Hi-Fi.
Oh no, it wasn't any of those. It was another one. I imagine that if it had been flavored, I would have liked it, but because there was no flavor to it, it was just phlegm in my mouth.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think I've ever had an unflavored one. That's really strange. Yeah. And that's not one to give away. Because what are you? I don't know. If you give away that, no one's going to go, that was delicious.
I know.
It's like giving away water.
Yeah. I don't really understand. I get maybe the thinking was that there are flavors people don't like. And if there's no flavor to it, then everyone will like this. But it just meant that all I could focus on was the texture of it because there was no flavor and it was phlegm. And then the other thing that I found tricky was that it made my hands a bit sticky. And I thought I was doing it well and not making my hands sticky. I thought, I must have not got any on my hands. And then somehow, maybe it was when I was folding it up because I wasn't near any bins.
Your hands will always get sticky.
Don't
worry about that. Yeah. That's just normal.
But then it just felt horrible. I hated the feel of it. So what I did, which is because I wasn't thinking properly because I was I was tired on my run. So I took a big mouthful of water and spat it into my hands to get the stickiness off.
Why don't you just pour the water in jams?
I don't, because, okay, so because the
Jesus Christ.
Because it was a soft flask, and it was, like, in my hydration vest. And I was thinking, I could, like, squirt it into my hand, but I thought, I can't squirt it. Like, it doesn't work like that. And I know I should have taken the thing out and unscrewed the lid, but that just seemed, like, too much. So I took a gulp of water to wash the gel down. And I was like, oh, wait, I know what I can do. And then I took another gulp and just spat it into my hands.
That's just weird.
So the whole the whole thing was a bit of an ordeal, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was a bit of an ordeal. But yeah.
So you're not planning your second gel anytime soon then?
Well, I might try some flavoured ones because I can understand the appeal. Like, I understand the appeal of taking gels because they were easy to take. But in the same vein, like, Tailwind's really easy, like much easier as well, and then you're hydrating at the same time. I do, and again, I'm not sponsored by Tailwind, but you know, stuff like that that you put in a drink, I do think it has the benefit of hydrating you at the same time. So in which case I'm like, well, what's the point of a gel then? Maybe, I don't know, what would be the point of a gel if you
can handy as a backup?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You're going to carry so much water.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking then, maybe, you know, and also I wouldn't want to carry two flasks full of Tailwind because that can get really, like, sickly after a bit. So maybe, like, if you're carrying, like, a flask of Tailwind, a flask of water and some gels, I sort of get that. But yeah, so first time trying a gel. I'm obviously a novice at it. Like, I don't know how to clean my hands afterwards other than spitting in them.
That is not the accepted way.
Okay. I won't do that one again. Yeah, and just the unflavoured ones. It's not the one. It was just pure, like, pure phlegm.
That's right. Was it quite a thick one as well?
It was thick. Yeah, it wasn't good.
Yeah, it's not good.
But I thought
the ones I use are High Five, okay. And mostly just because my club gets a 40% discount, and that's a decent discount. But also, when they arrive, they do a cool thing of if you save up like 20 wrappers and send them back to them in a prepaid envelope, they recycle them.
Oh, that's cool.
They found a company that will recycle these packages. Obviously, it's quite a niche thing. So if you send back a load of them, so I've got like a big pile of them cleaned in the kitchen, I do need to send them back at some point, and they can actually recycle those packages, which is a very good idea. I like that a lot.
That's better than just chucking them on the floor, because I see so many gel wrappers on the floor, when I'm out and about. The good thing, again, I can't remember the name of the company now, but when I took the top bit off, where I ripped the top bit off, it stayed attached to the packet. So it had like a little thing attaching it to the packet. So it didn't just, the top bit didn't just like completely come off.
That's good.
Which, because I know some people do that and then spit it like on the floor or something. But yeah, so that was a good thing. But that's my review of the gel I tried. I can't remember the name of the company. And also it was kind of gross. So it's probably good. I can't remember the name of the company. And also afterwards I spat in my hands to clean them. That's my review. That's my TikTok influencer review, so that they sponsor me. Please.
Mad we haven't gone viral, isn't
it? Please sponsor me. Can you imagine the TikTok videos where I'm like gagging, taking this gel and then spitting in my hands?
But I think if you did like really confidently carried it off and showed off your six pack in like a little kind of subtle way, then you'd probably be fine.
Mm. Okay, then. There we go. Sod this. Right. Anyway, what have you been up to?
I don't think anything as weird as that. I mean, while you were not doing the breakfast race, I was there. Basically, I drove a van around a forest all day, and that was quite a lot of good fun. Nice. And handed out a load of flapjack and gave people water, and I was absolutely knackered. It's bizarre how, like, doing that for a few hours. Like, I came home. As soon as I got back, I slept for, like, an hour and a half. Mm. I went for a run the next day. I was intended to do, like, 11-12K at, like, a decent pace. Couldn't do it, just 11-12K at a jog. Because I was just absolutely exhausted, and I have no idea why. Because I say, I just gave people water and gave some flapjack and drove a van around. But that was a lot of good fun. I really enjoyed that. It was nice. It was a really nice race. There's loads of people doing like their first trail races, and that's very nice to see. But where our checkpoint was, it was just slightly on the way up a hill, and just the guys at the bottom. There was some marshals down the bottom, and they were saying like, "Oh, there's a checkpoint at the top of the hill." And so everyone was getting there. And the one in particular, she got to it. She saw it. She went, great. Looked over her shoulder, saw the rest of the hill that carried on, and did the most amazing natural double take of this hill of like, what the fuck? I thought this was done. And she just looked furious about it.
Nice.
So that was very funny for me. But yeah, it was nice seeing all these runnings. And it was a lovely part of this Breckford Forest in Carmarthenshire. And I think it would have been, everyone enjoyed it, said it was lovely, but it was just misty and murky and drizzly for most of the day. Mm. So you don't really get great views, but I think a lot of people do plan to go back there to have a run because there's some really good marked trails as well. So that's always good.
Mm, nice.
I did five aside for the first time in a very long time and I didn't break my ankle. So that's always a positive. Nice. But also I did that, then I did the trail, hilly trail run the next evening, and then I had a day off, and then I went for a park run PB, which is not the best preparation, as it turns out. But, well, I say that, I did actually get the PB, so that was nice for me. Nice. It was a nice overdue park run PB for me. And it's just, like I think I've talked about before, it's so hard as an amateur normal shit runner to know when you're going to be good. And that must be so much of like being a proper runner is the planning and the effort that what goes into, you know, the lead up to a good run. Because like I felt like shit that morning. My legs didn't just ache. They kind of hurt. Like I was walking up the stairs in the morning and they were like, oh, this feels awful. But that weird thing, I just kind of thought, well, sometimes when you feel like shit, you can still run well. And I don't know why that is. And then sometimes you feel completely fine and you can't run for shit. Yeah. And I don't understand why. And 12 years in, you know, same as you, same amount of time, still cannot work out when I'm going to run well or not. No. And I took like 20 seconds off my PB. So it was a decent run, but I felt like trash.
Yeah, I find that sometimes. Like this morning, I woke up and I've had like a really long week at work. And like I said, my commute is quite long. And I woke up and my back's hurt and my feet are aching. I'm like, oh God, do I even bother going for this run? So I'm running. I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Absolutely fine. No issues.
Weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then sometimes you really psych yourself up, right? This is going to be the one. This is going to be the big. I've done all the prep. I've done the rest. I've done this. I've drug everything. I've done the hydration. And you start running. You're like, nah, nah, not today. Mm. Like within a few hundred meters, you just know sometimes. You're like, nah, that's it. Never mind.
Yeah.
It's so annoying. I mean, I wish I was smart enough and actually paid attention enough to figure it out, but not going to happen, clearly.
Too much effort.
And then day after that PB, I went for like a 10-mile trail run with a group, which is great. And that weird Strava relative effort thing, the 17K run with 600 meters of elevation was less effort than a 5K run, which is just weird. I don't understand how that works. So it's been a heavy week for me. So as usual on this podcast, knackered.
Yes, you can pay for us to carry on being absolutely knackered by supporting this podcast.
Great.
Go to patreon.com/runningisbullshit and donate money every month if you like. Don't have to, but if you want to, that'd be nice. New to the list this month is Taryn Milligan. Is that how you say it? Taryn Milligan?
Probably.
New to the list this month is Taryn Milligan, Andrea Laurent, and Mark Willis. Welcome.
Rachel Ballmore said last week, by the way, quality choice of song for the Patreon song. I'm making myself late for a meeting just so I can listen to this completely. Again, this is worrying behaviour. People, please do not risk your career prospects.
Yes.
Listening to us sing absolute nonsense. Please.
Yes.
I didn't think that's the thing I'd have to say.
That's quite unusual.
I mean, I guess what, you like sitting in your car, just wait and like messaging us while it's happening instead of going to your meeting. I guess your meeting probably wasn't that interesting, but
well, yeah.
Come on. Right, let's hope Amy can give us some more quality this week with these names.
Daniel Braun, Jay Howells, Clark Gilmore, Sheree Kinnison, Bernadette McCarthy, Ian Thompson, James Lampert, Sherry Grubb, Stuart Stevens, J. Matt Garner, Francis Howe, David Tittle, Aaron Shaw, Angela Foster Swales, Rachel Ballmore, Joel Curran, Sophie Nichols, Amanda Murray Hine, Karen Hamilton, Andy Nichols, Andy Robin, Victoria Cousins, Adam Baker, Martin Kaplan, Sophie Jacks, Gabrielle Thomas, Nia Matt Jones, Len Martin, Alice Newsom, Matt Caffin, Gregory C., Raymond Quinn, Matt Burrows, Charlie Neverson, Kiara Evans, Debbie Hurley, Penny Simpson, Son, Ian Hales, Cat, Abigail, Hardman, Shambolic, Adult, Jerry, Victoria, Dick, Karen Blay, Matt Willis, Luke Daniels, Rachel, Bentley, Gail Seal, Lisa Gibbon, Nikki Jones, Kel Ryder, Matt Lees, Graham Hackland, Ruth KP, Kath Ellerud, Matt H, Elliot Line, Andrea Laurent, Tom Alcock, AP, Spencer Aldred, Tony Howes, Jewel Running, Nikki Genders, Jonathan Carter, Elizabeth Freeze, Julia Page, Noms Dawson, Jason SB, Jason Sphinx, Maria Wicks, Taryn Milligan, Claire Dina, Claire Davis, Catherine Fenton, Elizabeth Chaban, Larry Warren, Paul Hibbert, Sandra Hines, Neil Denton, Lee Wood, Martin Jousey, Matt Newbury, Bree, David, Erwin Dawn, Shepherd, Steve Robson, Robbins, Richard Skine, Victoria, Magnus, Gordy, Thelwell, Brian, Simpson, Carl Fleming, Anthony, Al, H. Rachel Bulmore, now you need to go to your meeting, please.
Yeah, please do.
It's your performance review meeting. You really need to go to that. They're saying you're constantly late. You know, you really need to be on time for this one.
These fortnightly one-to-ones have gone really badly. Yeah. You're late every time. And they put them on a Monday morning. They thought that'd be fine, but you keep missing them. And now for some pioneering podcast content that should finally put us on a national level. An interview that no one else would dare broadcast. I'm very excited to introduce this guest as it's a first for us. We've had sprinters, ultra runners, even a high jumper who genuinely hated running, but they've all been human. You know, we've always been fans of diversity and different viewpoints on this podcast, so I'm delighted to introduce Puff the Dragon to Running is BS. Puff, welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Good to be here.
Fantastic to have you. A pioneering interview, I hope this will be. Hopefully more will follow. So you came to our attention after being photographed enigmatically running in the mist, which made the local news. That was in training for your latest challenge. But let's take it back, first of all. How long have you been running and how did it all start?
I've been running maybe 13 years. When I was 55, I started then 13 years ago watching the Great North Run, thinking, oh, I wouldn't mind having a go at that. And put my application in and got a yes back within a few months. And I was like, oh my good God, I better start and do some training. So 55 years old, I started training.
Again, forgive my ignorance for many questions tonight. Is 55 particularly old or young for a dragon? I'm not sure.
It's very young, I think. Some dragons are millions of years old.
That's great. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, it's useful though. I say we're all learning today, and you know, I really appreciate you here to give us some of these lessons. So it's been about 13 years you've been running. How many events have you done?
I've done 15 full marathons, approximately 50 half marathons, and countless 10Ks, 5Ks. I don't know. I've lost count.
Wow, that's a hell of a lot. And generally, how do you find running events? Are they welcoming towards dragons?
Extremely, yeah, but it's just, yeah, very, very welcoming, but it's just annoying for some of the runners when, especially towards the later stages of a marathon, I'm not like everybody else, but when you go past somebody, the 20-mile mark, they turn around and say, oh, they're taking a piss, aren't they?
I would expect, is it perhaps difficult when you are running to not use your wings?
Oh, yeah, they're always tucked in the back. I couldn't get disqualified for cheating, wouldn't I?
That is true. Yeah, I guess so. I guess you just have to be quite careful. Even when you get tired, you can't be tempted just to give them a little flutter.
No, I'm tempted to. Really, I'm tempted.
But yeah, you keep it all legit. That's what I like to hear. So you've been running for charity as well. So what kind of charities have you been supporting?
Well, the main charity I have been supporting recently is Ask Me UK, which is where most of my fundraising has gone. But lately, I've just got over to another one. The majority has been Ask Me UK, but I've also done diabetes, I've done air ambulance, Seven Hospice, some others I can't quite remember stopping yet. Mainly Ask Me UK.
Okay, wow. So you're going, you like to spread around, and I understand you've raised quite a lot of money in that time as well.
Yeah, just over £70,000.
Oof. I mean, yeah, I forgive you for not having an exact figure on that, but over 70 grand is absolutely fantastic.
It's all down to the local community in Bridge North, which they sponsor me every time, and they've just been amazing.
What kind of things are you doing kind of outside the running to get some of this attention and kind of sponsorship?
Well, myself and Natalie, who I know is a member of this Facebook group, that 2 years ago we done a I'll send you the video later, a full Monty, which raised a lot of money on the night. We had a men's team and a girls' team, and we did go the full Monty.
Yeah, that is a creative use of a creative outlet there for sponsorship, which is always fantastic to see.
Oh, very was, yeah. But I just, in my defence, I've got to point out it was a bit cold on the night.
But no, that's totally understandable. So,
Oops.
when you're out on these runs, what kind of things do dragons eat on a run? Are there any other kind of problems that a dragon may encounter that other people might not realise?
Mainly yapping dogs, Jack Russell, little furry animals just yapping at the ankles, so just bend down and just gobble them up.
That's a very risky move on this podcast. We're big dog runners here,
Oh,
but
yeah, I'm only joking.
we'll be sure. Well, okay. Well, we'll be sure to keep clear just in case. So tell us about your next challenge. What have you got planned?
Next challenge is June 30th. We're planning on going up Snowdon. Never been up there in my life. I'm 68, never been up Snowdon. And we're going along with the Wolverhampton bobsled team as well. They're coming along.
Of course.
And they're dragging, of course, you've got them, haven't you? And they're going to drag their bobsled up there. Natalie and one of Richard and several others are coming up in fancy dress as well. They've got to come up in fancy dress. It's going to be some of them, I don't know what they're going to be. They're leaving as a surprise. I know we've got a Sylvester Cat, and we've got to say the bobsled team, and Donald Duck, with a Slinky, Blobby, the usual stuff. But it's on June 30th. It's going to be warm at the bottom. Hopefully, it's a bit cooler at the top.
Yeah, well, hopefully you get the views. I think it's something like 5 days a year where it's completely cloud free at the top there. So hopefully you have one of those days, or at least, last time I was there, it's about 100 meters below the summit. You do get some absolutely fantastic views.
So you've been up there. Can you give us any tips, Bob? And don't do it.
Oh, well, I guess you're going up the Lambaris Path, which is kind of
That's the one, yeah.
it's
That's
the
the one I've been
longest, but
told.
it's the yeah, it's the one you can kind of walk up all the way. I guess you don't want to be doing any climbing if your colleagues have got a bobsleigh on their shoulder. Oh, I don't know. It's just you just got to keep going, take some snacks because there'll be plenty of dogs up there. So again, you might be tempted. So I would say take some snacks with you so you don't gobble up any Yorkshire Terriers or anything while you're there.
Oh, there might be a few lambs or something about it.
That's true. Yeah, I probably won't miss a few of those. I wonder, have you got any relationships with Welsh dragons? Because I know you're just over the border there. So I wonder if, is there going to be any tension when you cross over into Wales?
Oh, of course, there was, well, the green dragon and the red dragon. There's only one item, really. Green dragon's going to win hands down, wings down, I should say. I have got some friends who are all Welsh, so we won't mention the rugby, but they'll be okay.
Well, hopefully you can keep it civil on the day and we can, concentrate on the charity aspect of this, and the local dragons will let you up and down without any trouble.
Hopefully, yes, hopefully.
So how can people support you?
I have got a Just Giving page on. I'm not really tech savvy, so it's on my Facebook page, Dana Farrow, with the profile picture of the dragon and Seven Hospice, and it's on there. The Just Giving link is on there.
So just check, Dana Parrott is your friend that runs the Facebook page for you. Yeah.
He's the friend I befriended with
Cool.
like 13 years ago.
Okay, that's good. That's good. It's good to know. Yeah, and we will share all those links as well. And we will let people know when it's upcoming as well. Yeah, I'd love to see some photos when you get up there. So we'll follow as well.
Of course, plenty of photos will be taken on the day. I'll make sure we send them on.
Lovely. Puff, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Really, thank you very much for having me. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
Thank you very much.
Now, some people might see that as a box ticking exercise, but I think it's important to hear dragon voices in the media. And we hope you'll support Puff in raising money for Asthma UK. Took me quite a long while before I realised Puff, the dragon, asthma, Puff, asthma. I didn't get that for quite a
I've
while,
only just
actually.
realised. Yeah.
Yeah, well done. Link is in the description of this episode. So go and give Puff a few quid. Why not?
Yeah. Don't forget to get in touch with your running bullshit on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Just search Running's BS and let us know why you particularly hate running this week.
Yeah, now I was just browsing through Instagram the other day and I spotted former guest Sana Duthie post on Instagram that she won the Ras Dewi Sant Marathon in West Wales and her prize was a wooden
Oh my
staff.
God.
And it looks to be like 4 or 5 feet of lovely, slightly knobbly polished wood with a little plaque on the end that says, winner Ras Dewi Sant. And that is about the best prize I have ever seen. A wooden staff for
Brilliant.
just walking around the coast and pointing, gesturing with it at things. Amazing prize. I would love to know if you've ever seen a better prize than that and any other quirky race prizes that you've seen that are a bit more interesting than you know, beer and wine. I'd love to hear about some weird and interesting race prizes.
Definitely.
That is amazing.
Gabby Nyer has also been in touch again and says, I need to...
That was a loaded again.
I didn't mean it like that.
Well, okay.
I love Gabby messaging us and creating content for us, of course. This podcast runs off Gabby Nyer.
Mostly, yeah.
She says, I need to complain. Portaloos. Yes, we have been over them, but shit as the things are, what is even worse is to have so few that you miss the start of your wave at a half marathon. There are still queues for Portaloos at mile 12. There are even huge queues for the urinals. Oh, I hate that. An understocked Portaloos situation. Not good.
Queues at mile 12 of a half marathon is a little bit funny, though.
Yeah. Just, you're nearly done.
You're nearly done.
I did have that situation at Leicester Half, which is where I got my, when I used to do road racing, where I got my half marathon PB, because I was queuing for a Portaloos, and this was like way back in 2014, ages ago. But then I heard them like doing like a countdown or something, basically it's starting, and I had to run off, desperate for a piss the whole way around, but ran really fast.
That's the secret.
Got a PB.
Just take my advice and just dehydrate yourself. Just don't drink anything 48 hours before a race. Don't need to go to the toilet. Don't need to queue for those portaloos. It's the perfect solution.
Exactly. Or just don't do city road races and just do trail races and go in the woods.
Piss in a bush.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, more on that kind of thing a little bit later on in the news.
Yes.
Vicky Cousins has been in touch and she says, running in mud so slippery you fall over multiple times is total and utter BS. 20-mile race at the Grizzly in Devon yesterday. I kept thinking, this mud is BS. Going uphill is BS. Going downhill is BS. Going sideways on a hill is even more BS. Besides the immense amount of BS, it was a good race. And there's a lovely photo of Vicky with her ass covered in mud. She has fallen straight on her ass there, which is a great effort. Like, the back of her legs aren't particularly muddy, literally just the ass. So she sat down in it as well.
I love how one hand is also covered in mud, where she's probably had to like push herself back up as well.
That's the thing. When you know someone's properly gone over, it's when the hands are covered in mud as well. Because when you've had to push yourself back up.
Love it.
That looks nasty.
That mud just looks horrible. It does look like that slippery mud. I feel like, at the moment, because we've had so much rain, all mud is slippery mud. Because when we've just had a normal amount of rain, some mud is really slippery, depending, like, usually if it's got like more clay. I don't know, I'm not like a geologist or whatever, but like, you know, there's different, mud's made up of slightly different things, I guess. I'm not a scientist.
We need more words for mud.
Yeah, but like, you know, the sort of mud where it's very slippery, you have that sort of mud, and then you have some mud that's not that slippery, actually, and maybe bits of stone in there and all that. Because of all the rain we've had, it's all slippery. It's all a hazard.
It's all bad.
Not a fan.
Seems drying out a little bit now, though.
Yeah. Well, when I went on my long run today, there was a massive puddle, and this puddle had obviously been there so long, there were tadpoles with legs in there.
In a puddle?
In a puddle. And then I had to go through the puddle. There was no way around it. I had to go through the puddle. And like I said, loads of these tadpoles that had their back legs.
Oh, there's no more tadpoles then.
Well, I was walking through it and my feet was sinking in, so I was almost up to my shins. And then I got back out, and on the other side, it was a massive puddle. On the other side of the puddle, the rest of the way, all I was thinking was, there are tadpoles in my shoes, and it was really freaking me out. And then Freya phoned me while I was running, and I was telling her about it. And she was like, was this a dream? I was like, no, this has just happened. And I think there's tadpoles in my shoes.
What kind of vegan are you, just stamping on tadpoles?
I know, I don't think there are tadpoles in my shoes. I daren't look. That was the thing as well. I daren't look in my shoes to see if there were tadpoles. It just, the whole thing freaked me out a bit because they were massive and they had feet. Didn't like it.
Sure.
Anyway, Tessa Haberley has sent us a Facebook post from someone at the Tokyo Marathon who spotted a runner who had shit themselves mid-run. Oh, God. Whoa. There were race officials trying to stop them running, but the runner was managing to evade them until two more officials turned up on bikes to escort him off the course. This is because the race rules state that anyone relieving themselves anywhere other than the designated toilets will be disqualified, as it is also prohibited under Japanese law. is this harsh? I mean, I don't think you're relieving yourself in that. It's not a relief, is it? It's kind of like...
It is not a relief.
That is not a relief.
Yeah, but on a technicality, it depends on the precise wording in Japanese, I guess. Yeah. But if that was in English, I wonder if there would be a case to be made there to say, like, I was not particularly relieved by this.
No.
So it doesn't count. But I guess you have gone to the toilet somewhere other than the designated place.
Yeah, your pants aren't the designated place. And also, I think that if you were doing a trail run where a lot of it you were maybe running on your own and you'd shit yourself, then maybe you could try and finish. Maybe you could sort yourself out or whatever and try and finish. But if you're a busy city marathon surrounded by people, it's not good form, is it, to...
I mean, for the other people, there was comments on there as well saying, like, is it potentially like a health risk? Yeah. I mean, it, potentially if they had some kind of bowel issue, is that potentially a bit of a risk with a bit of splashing or like, I mean, I think you've got to think of the other runners in that situation.
Yeah, that would be my race over regardless.
Yeah, you'd
think. Only time I'd carry on after shitting myself is probably during an ultra, and I'd wash everything in a stream or something if I had access to that sort of thing where I'd sort myself out. But otherwise, I'm not running around with poo in my pants, man.
And also, I feel like at most ultras, you could probably talk to the organizer and say, please delete all the photos.
Yeah.
If you're running at the Tokyo Marathon, there's going to be hundreds of photos of the woman with shit down her leg.
Yeah.
And you'll never get them off the internet. That'll be you forever.
You're going to be a meme. Like, you are going to be a meme.
Yeah.
God.
Don't let that happen. But to be disqualified, I don't know, it does feel harsh, but it does feel like you probably shouldn't finish.
Double shame. Double shame.
Double shame.
God. Right. The bullshit running news. God, we had lots of news to catch up on this time. I had to delete some because I couldn't be arsed with it all. Like, we go from feast to famine, or famine to feast, rather, because this is just like, it was too much. But first, of course, we have to talk about Jasmine Paris, who just became the first woman to finish Barclay Marathons.
We only care about the first.
We only care about that. But yeah, it's like all over mainstream news as well, which just makes me laugh because there's going to be lots of people looking up what the Barclay Marathons are and being like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So she had fewer than 100 seconds to spare before the 60-hour cutoff when she made it back to the gate, which is mad. And have a look at, just have a look online because there's a video of her finishing. She almost like collapses over the yellow gate. Because she must have really been sort of... Well, I don't know. Has any interviews come out with her yet talking about it? Because I imagine if you've got 100 seconds to go, like, she must have been really pushing it, I imagine. She must have been... Yeah.
Nasty.
I don't know whether this is the case for her, but I imagine her, like, looking at her watch and realising how tight it's going to be and really having to push that final bit. And that must have been absolutely horrendous. So Paris was one of five ultra runners to complete the annual race held in the Frozen Head State Park, Tennessee, that has seen no finishes in more than half of the races in its nearly four-decade history. So for half of the races, for 20 of the races, there's been no finishes. I can't remember last year whether there were any finishes. There's been quite a few years in a row where there haven't been any finishes.
Yeah, I think someone finished last year. I think there was like six this year, so it's too easy now.
It's too easy. Too easy.
It's boring now. I don't care about it anymore.
I do think...
I did see something that said when the first guy finished it in like the mid-90s, other people were saying like, nah, you've ruined it. It wasn't supposed to be finishable. Yeah, it wasn't supposed to be beatable. And they were like, nah, you've ruined it now.
I imagine the weather plays a huge part. I don't know what it was like this year in terms of the weather.
I think that's it.
Like from the photos I've seen, like it didn't look as bad as previous years have been with storms.
I think it was a good one.
So for those unfamiliar with the Barclay Marathons,
where have you been?
You need to
get
on Netflix, wherever it is, and watch that documentary. It's good. So if you don't know, the current course consists of five loops of 20 miles each with a climb and descent of 54,000 feet. And for context, the summit of Mount Everest is 29,000 feet. So that's a lot of elevation. This year's winner was Canada-based Ukrainian Ivor Varis. Hope I'm saying that right. Probably not. Who finished it in 58 hours, 44 minutes and 59 seconds. So not like they have a 60-hour cutoff. So it's not like he finished sort of hours and hours and hours and hours ahead of her. Yeah. So it's always like quite a tight race, you know, when it comes to the end.
And the first male finisher and the first female finisher ever of the race, both British. So that's quite nice.
Yeah, Yeah, really good. Yeah, that. Yeah, I didn't add that as well. Is that that Jasmine Paris is British, which is absolutely fantastic. It's not only a woman, the first woman to finish, fantastic, but also a British woman. So yeah, really good.
Yeah. Now, just to go to the other end of the spectrum of morality story here, an update on the Kate Carter alleged cheating story. The Runner's World editor was accused of cheating by a Marathon investigation in January. Or at the very least, I've kind of reread something from Marathon investigation. Marathon investigation sets out the facts which seem to indicate that she did cheat. I think he's very careful in writing it in those terms. Yes. Since then, she has been cleared by England Athletics of any attempt to deliberately cheat during the London Marathon and the London Landmarks Half Marathon. Now, what they say is... A thorough investigation into both incidents has been carried out, the results of which have found there was no intention to deceive and no attempt to benefit from the results. So neither of these incidents meet the EA threshold for serious misconduct. So it doesn't say she didn't cheat.
No.
It does kind of say there's no intention to deceive and it doesn't reach the criteria for a serious incident. I suppose what did help is the fact that her husband is the sports editor of The Guardian, which wrote a piece about how great she actually was. She said, to reiterate, I'm not a cheat. I've never cheated. I ran without a timing chip as I thought I would perform poorly and I didn't get a time. We'll come back to that. I then attempted to draw the run on my Strava so my miles counted to the monthly total.
Why not just put the miles in anyway? Yeah.
You can just do a manual entry. Yeah. You don't need to draw the map. This was not an attempt to mislead or cheat. It was simply a post on my personal Strava social media account. Again, you didn't need to put the map in there.
No.
You can just put the miles and the time. That's fine. At the London Landmarks race, I stepped off the course after wetting myself in a bid to find a bin and clean myself up. This was a hugely embarrassing moment. I accept that I then inadvertently re-entered the race in a different spot. However, England Athletics have now told me that after speaking to the organisers, who also provided details of my timing chip, they've ruled that this was not a deliberate act of deception and you did not gain any benefit or win anything as a result. So you can cheat as long as you don't win.
But as well, it just doesn't make sense. And it feels like she's trying to turn the attention to something else. Because she says, oh, I wet myself. And that was really, really embarrassing. Like making this thing.
I mean, that
like,
is. I do accept that it's a legitimate reason. That is an awful thing to happen. Yeah. And like, you know, from what she says, it is plausible the chain of events, all of these things happened. It's unlikely,
but
all these things separately are plausible.
But it's not an excuse, because it's one thing like, oh, it's saying, oh yeah, I wet myself and it was really, really embarrassing. Like, of course, that would be, I get that. But then why don't you retrace your steps to where you left the race? I don't understand.
That.
So what I'm saying is, although yes, of course, that must be really embarrassing, but like drawing attention to that part of the story, it's sort of... not paying attention to the other part, which is you re-entered the race at a different point. Why? For what reason? Mm. You know?
And her time is still on the results. And she's been given a free place to this year's event.
Oh.
And, you know, I've said for a while, London Landmarks, bit of a bullshit event.
Mm.
It's a very expensive event. They sell it on the fact that it's in London. And look, there are landmarks. But again, it's not a licensed event. It's not... England Athletics don't really have any jurisdiction over that because it's not licensed to them.
Mm.
It's its own thing. It's a private company, a profit-making company that make a lot of money from doing this race. And it's not, you know, properly licensed or measured, as far as we can tell.
Mm.
So, I'm not a big fan of the London Landmarks. She does say, I will have more to say in the future about the damage these allegations have done to my reputation, as well as my mental and physical health. Running was a big part of my identity. Having been cleared, I really do hope to find that joy again. Now, as I said, I think from my point, you know, all of these separate little things that happened are plausible that they could all happen together, but I still feel there's something odder and weirder going on.
Mm.
Like she said, I didn't think I would perform well, so I took the timing chip off my bib. Now, that is a bad thing.
That's
that is
weird.
A toxic behavior. That yeah. is like you're in this too deep.
Yeah.
You're taking this too seriously. You're so worried about Strava and Instagram judging you because you don't think you like there's loads of people who run London who don't think they're going to get a good time. They don't like take the timing chip off the bib. That's a really strange thing.
Yeah.
That's a very deliberate thing to do, and that's a really toxic trait that you're running, but like, oh, I don't want people to know I don't want to get a good time. Mm. Don't fucking run it then.
Also, you're not allowed to do that, are you? Isn't it like
I wouldn't. I mean, it doesn't feel like you should be able to.
Yeah, like what? And also, like, what's the point? What's the point if you're doing a timed race? You're doing a timed race. You either
and if people look at that, they go and they say, "Oh, you didn't get a very good time." You said, "Oh, yeah, it's because I wasn't feeling that great and I haven't been able to do training." And people would go, "Oh, okay, then."
Yeah.
Like no one's going to be like, "Look at that! She did 5 hours. That's a bit of shit."
Yeah.
Like, who cares about people who think that?
If you're really bothered about not performing well, just don't do the race. You just or run the same loop on another, run the same route on another day, and do that to run the route, because that's what you're doing. You're just running the route. Part of doing an event is to get a time, isn't it? Like an event and like that.
Oh, okay, your time wasn't very good. Yeah, I wasn't really trying. Oh, okay then.
Yeah.
That's it. That's as far as that conversation goes, surely.
Yeah.
It's really it's all very
I'll be
strange.
Very interested to see what she's got to say about it. It just all seems very odd, and the definition of cheating seems a bit odd, like not deliberately trying to deceive. Well, she was trying to deceive but she was trying to hide things in terms of her time, so that's one thing. But also the whole like drawing the map on Strava is bizarre, because I've done runs where I haven't logged it on Strava, and I've just put in the miles and the time. That's all you need to put in if you want to do that. And then I just put the title as whatever that race was. And then the whole, like I said, like coming off the course, it seems bizarre to me not to re-enter at the same place you came off the course, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. The marathon investigation follow-up piece, it still says, you know, that article that was written has not been refuted directly. Mm. It does also say it didn't actually make any conclusions, just published the facts, and he's restated them here. You know, these are the facts that happened, and they still aren't explained by all of this investigation. No. So it's very strange. But I must say, I know as much as we've gone on about it, there are some very angry men on Twitter about this. I mean, I know that's a sweeping statement, because that's true for most things. But when I posted this link, there was one guy who must have just been searching for a name so he can just post abuse about her.
Yeah.
And that's really strange.
That's the thing. Like,
come on. A lot of people are really just personally affected by this for some reason.
Yeah, this is...
Men are.
Yeah. And this is the thing. Funny enough. Like, of course, I imagine this has been really damaging to, her mental health and her physical health. Like, her reputation is another thing. Because if you are found to be cheating, of course, that's going to affect your reputation. That's one thing. But, like, I can imagine it has been a massive thing on her mental health. Because we've talked about cheating before. An alleged cheating. And it's okay to sit and like talk about, oh, do you think she did it, blah blah blah, and talk about her in terms of like her as an athlete, her as a runner. But then when it becomes personal, it's like, why? In terms of morality, in terms of things that are morally good or bad, cheating in a running race that most people are doing for fun isn't the end of the world. It's not as severe as a lot of things in life, you know? So I don't understand all the personal attacks. I think nothing warrants that in terms of cheating at races or whatever. It was like that woman who took that car during that ultra. It's like, you know, yeah, she cheated. Yeah, that's going to damage her reputation as a runner. But she shouldn't be like sacked from her job or anything like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, let's chill out about it.
Yeah, it's just running.
I mean, we just talked about it for 10 minutes.
I know, but it is just running. We don't need to get personal about people and threaten them and all those sorts of things. Like, chill, bro. It is just running.
Yeah. Let's do the last one, which is a bit funnier.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's a right laugh, this one. So so finally, female police officers have been posing as runners in Bradford to crack down on catcalling. I do actually...
So first of all, I love posing as runners.
Yeah.
Look at me, I'm doing a run.
I am running. This is me running.
This is how I run.
I do actually find this quite funny in a way, because not because catcalling is a huge issue, because it is, not that aspect of it. But also, you can, if you're found to be harassing women, you can get fined up to £1,000. The fact they're laying these honey traps, I fucking love that somebody's gonna, like, you know, somebody's gonna catcall and they're like, yep, £1,000 fine. And they won't, because people who do shit like that, it's so normalized in their head, they won't be expecting £1,000 fine. So I love that aspect of it.
The fact it just took a couple of female police officers to put on some leggings and go for a jog.
Yeah.
And like, just made them start a shout out, and they're like, right, I'll have you.
Yeah.
And I just, oh, that's brilliant.
I love it.
But it's really sad that's, I don't know the full details, but that's probably all they needed to do. Just run alongside a busy road in a pair of leggings, and there you go, some men are going to shout at you, and they could be like, fucking have you.
And I do think this is a good way to crack down on it, because with stuff like this, And a lot of women will know, even from having experienced it or knowing somebody that's experienced something like this, if you're shouted at and somebody's harassing you, that can be really difficult to prove in like a court of law sort of situation, because unless you've recorded it, it's just your word against somebody else's, isn't it? So it can be really difficult because often there isn't evidence, unless there's bystanders or whatever, or you've recorded it. But in a lot of cases, there isn't any evidence. So it's really, it must be really frustrating for a lot of women to try and prove these things. So the fact they're doing this, I think, is really good. And this comes after a survey by Runners World magazine, which found that 60% of female runners had experienced harassment, largely from men in cars.
So men who are able to escape quickly. Yes,
exactly. Well done. Exactly. Superintendent Beth Pagnolo said women should be able to run freely without being concerned. As well as sending plainclothes officers to run or jog in hotspot areas, police are working with running clubs and attending park runs to encourage women to report any harassment they experience. I think this is really good. I think this is absolutely fantastic, and I'm really pleased this is happening, because, and I wasn't expecting something like this to happen, because we all know at the moment, like, public services are on their knees, aren't they? So the fact that they're investing some time and money into addressing this, I think is really, really good. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I've just had a quick look. Yeah, I think this is just, at the moment, this is particular campaign is a Bradford thing. Mm. But I would imagine some other police forces will probably copy that at some point or do something similar. But yeah, I like the idea of actually working with running clubs to give information about reporting harassment, because again, you know, I mean, that says 60% of female runners have experienced it. I would imagine that's actually much higher. Yeah. I feel, just from, you know, what I've heard, but giving information to women to let them know when they can report and how, and kind of what level it needs to meet and what evidence they need to give would be a really, really valuable thing.
And I will say, having had to do this before, like I've just said that thing about, like, it's really difficult to prove in some situations, but that doesn't mean it's not worth reporting. You can just call, if you experience something, just call 101. Like, it's dead easy. You might be on hold for, obviously, if it's an emergency, you call 909. But if, like, somebody shouts at you from a car, something offensive, and drives off, call 101. Might be waiting a little time to get through to them, but it's worth it. Let them know what happened, where it was, and they will log that as an incident. Now, nothing might not happen from that, but if enough people do it and they start to identify certain hotspot areas, you know, then something could come from that. So if everyone does it, because I told a story years ago about a guy that was masturbating down one of the trails that I run down, like lots of people walking by, and he was, you know, doing his thing down there, and I rang 101. I posted about it on social media, and I had a few other people said, oh yeah, they'd seen a similar thing down the same trail. And I said, did you report it? And they're like, oh no, I didn't report it. And I was like, you should, even though it happened a while ago, report it. Always worth doing. I have no idea whether they sent the police out straight away, actually. No idea whether that guy got caught. Don't really give a shit about that guy, but you just have to report it, you know? It will do good to report it, even if nothing comes out of it straight away, you know, just so that the police are aware.
Yeah, you can report online as well. If you don't want to talk to someone, you can just go on the website and just fill in a load of forms and give all the information that way if you don't want to talk to someone about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Exactly. I like to have a good natter with somebody. So I remember it was like 7 a.m. The woman on 101 was like, oh, that's awful. I was like, yeah, it's 7 a.m., isn't it? And she's like, yeah, it's a bit early. I'm like, yeah, we're having a good old natter about it.
Good for you. Made a friend.
Anyway. Okay, Stuart, what have you got coming up next?
Oh, I could do some Candy Cross next week, but I don't think I will, because I don't think I want to drive 3 hours again to run for 20 minutes. Yes. Yeah, that doesn't sound good. Oh, speaking of Candy Cross, I just remembered a thing, actually. Again, friend of the show, Jen Danger Harding, finished second in the Canucks Championships.
Hey,
good for her. Yes. And she was away for that weekend as well, because she couldn't run on that last weekend. And there was one woman there, and if she hadn't have turned up, Jen would have won the championship, which would have been very, very funny. But she finished second, same as I did a couple of years ago. So that's the coolest spot to be. So well done for Jen for turning up, because, you know, you can only beat what's put in front of you.
Exactly. We love a number
good
two.
Good for you. Yeah, love that. So yeah, probably won't do Candy Cross next weekend over Easter, but my sister-in-law has just got a kitten called Jasper, so we're probably going to go and visit that instead.
Yeah.
I think she's got another Maine Coon, because she likes big cats.
Nice.
So this is a big little kitten. So I think we'll go and see the kitten instead. That sounds more fun.
That's way more fun. And then maybe William could chase it around the garden. You could do something like Candy Crush.
I think William would love the kitten. How about you?
Not much, really. Not much.
Did you say your next race was until May?
Yeah, May. Should probably do something in between. Although we need to find you some races. April, aren't we?
Yeah, we need to find you some races to do. We'll find you something for April. It'll be fun. Know,
especially now on mobile. As long as I'll be there, as long as it doesn't snow or rain too hard. Or
now you've got a car and you know how to get to one forest and you just run in every weekend. I know one place to go and that's where I'm going to go.
Yeah, I like my routines. I have two forests anyway. I have two different forests I go to. Similar direction. I just take a different exit. So.
Good for you. Well done.
If you've enjoyed this bullshit, please visit Running is BS to see the show notes and links from this episode and the whole back catalogue, as well as links to our Patreon merch stores and social medias. Bye!
Bye. Piss in a bush.